It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, the two guys that everybody warns you about. Please, keep them away from anything electronic. It's Patch and Switch. We've got professional gear now.
I know, I was going to say.
Other than your screen looks pretty good there.
I'm trying. It's a loose cable.
Yeah, there we go.
We're back.
Are we back online?
I'm glad that one there is not a live stream piece. That's all.
Is there something about the live stream we've got to pay attention to?
No, we actually employ someone for that.
We do?
Well, technically, we've just asked them if they could help.
It could work.
Good Friday morning to you, my friend.
And to you, sir.
Or Friday evening if you're in Europe, or Saturday wee in the morning if you're from the Southern Hemisphere or someplace.
I think it's just afternoon.
Is it?
In the Europe.
Afternoon.
I don't think it's quite evening.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for
evening
it.
Evening would be another hour.
Uh-huh.
If my math in my head carry the one.
I don't know. Time zones are hard. We just found
time
out
zones
that
are very
our streaming device over here is on two time zones incorrect. And we're starting the show 2 hours early for some reason.
But yet it's an hour later.
It's an hour later, yes. I apologize. What am I saying? Am I Canadian or something? I'm saying sorry. We haven't even started the broadcast yet. Really?
Yes. Well, so here's the thing. I thought we would have something interesting to talk about because the reason the show got pushed back an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to give you crap for actually letting Mark Rusinovich just bump us an hour later.
When the Rusinovich calls, you answer. And yes, I was going to be shooting a video with Rusinovich for an event that's going on next week, actually.
Oh, yeah?
But something was wrong, and basically there was an emergency broadcast email that went out to say, we're going to hold off on this. So I'm like, if Rusinovich is saying that, there's probably something really important.
Or he just doesn't want to do a video shoot with you.
Or, yeah, it could be, because he also bumped me off the other night, too.
I was there.
You were there. We were going to do a really cool shoot for Tuesdays with Corey.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get this text email from Corey saying, sorry, Mark can't make it today.
So and you're
I think Mark is just avoiding me.
That wouldn't surprise
just avoiding me.
He didn't know I was there. Otherwise, he probably would have shown up.
Maybe he was intimidated by you.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. Hey, there's people in the chat room.
There are. Yes. I actually have it up in the screen behind us. I don't know if you can see that from
probably
the
not.
Angle that you're at. We do have to do a shout out first to the fact that we have two new cameras. Can you give me camera? I don't know what number that is over there.
That's camera two.
You want
camera two? That's camera two. There we go. There's two. That's me. Hello. And this over here is camera one or three or four. That's one. That's one over there.
Camera one.
And there you go. Now we got camera one.
There
we got the audio guy working. And then we got the wide shot of the security cam that we hacked into up there still.
Yes.
There we go. As well. Yep. High tech. So we actually had to bump up the pay from $1.380 to $1.381.
Now, with the Canadian dollar changing,
I know,
does that
actually
seriously impact things? Or
it makes us, we can have more production people. We actually paid the expenses for our guest to join us today.
We did.
Yes, I gave her a cup of coffee this morning. She's all set.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Should we introduce her?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
This is, I was going to say, @EssexGirl.
No.
No.
It's Fairbrit. I call her Essex Girl.
That would be a good Twitter handle, though.
Maybe I'll change it.
Oh, she does talk.
I do.
Nice. This is Ms. Fair is joining us.
Yes, absolutely. So in the chat room, we've got PEI Murphy. How are things in the PEI? Vizio MVP, Peace Drama, Fairbrit, of course, who's here in the room. Sean Lowe, TE Cable Guy, Adam Bomb 00. Good to see you, sir.
Yes, he was here early. Kudos for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Frederick Bork Bork and MKE077, along with Wireless Life, who is also checking in from Canada. We've got a lot of Canada here.
Canadians all over the place. We actually got a postcard on ping from a guy from Markham, Ontario. Saying,
where's that?
Saying he...
I don't know.
It's just outside of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
He said, I heard that this is the address I mailed to get a Channel 9 guy. If not, hi anyway.
That's fantastic.
So we're going to send him a Channel 9 guy.
Oh, you know who else has joined us?
Oh, who?
Veronica.
Ah, nice.
And you know what is fantastic about this week
what?
Is that now Veronica is in Building 9.
What?
She's just downstairs, dude. I've gone by and said hi already.
Are all of our friends from Lex now in the same building?
They are.
Oh, That is so nice.
It is.
I saw a tweet from her this morning. I believe she was suffering from insomnia, talking about one of the guest chefs that came by the cafeteria yesterday.
Yes. I tried to get Bobby Flay, actually.
It wasn't Bobby Flay yesterday.
No, it was not Bobby
she
Flay, but the chef
Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay,
yes.
With like a cleaver?
No, in a food competition, and she made the Korean rice bowl.
Oh, okay.
I can never say the name of it, but... The Bimium Bop or whatever it is.
She had what looked to be a phenomenal red curry chicken that I was dying to try, but I only had 5 minutes for lunch to grab something, and there was a lineup of 20 people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I didn't try it because, well, there was barbecue too. Mm. And you know how I am about barbecue.
And you know what I had for lunch?
Not yet.
Poppy seed chicken salad with blueberries.
And how did that work out considering you had a video shoot immediately following?
It was about 15 minutes bathroom mirror time afterwards.
Making sure you didn't have poppy seeds all
over. Yes, I probably still have them in my mouth too. And based on the fact that you've already pointed out, I've got like 3 stains on my Wallabies jersey today.
Yes. One of which is being covered by my other computer is a data center sticker.
You got it.
Yes. Just that,
you know, that's what stickers are for, cover up those stains in the shirts. It was a clean jersey. It came out of the laundry basket. So obviously my kids are doing something with the laundry at home.
Frederick wants to know, how many people can you cram into the Elevator Machine Room studio?
We are close to capacity.
We are.
The King County will be upset if we go with at least another 4 people in here. It'll be over capacity.
But we could do it.
We could.
Yeah.
We could double up on mics.
Yeah.
Chairs would be a bit challenging.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm still of the opinion we should maybe have this as a standing desk.
I agree.
You think so?
Then we're going to have to pick all the new cameras.
Well, we can do that. They're only sticky taped to the wall, so they're fine.
They're sticky taped?
We came in the morning, and camera number 2 over there was on the ground. Luckily, it's a GoPro, and survived the shocking fall. And yes, I was the one that put it up there, and that's why it fell, if you really want to know. Before anyone asks, just in case you wanted to know.
MKE077 says bleachers. Mm. Bleachers could work.
You know what's funny about this?
Not yet.
I'm going to let a secret out about this. Channel 9 Studios are moving over to this building that we're in for the secret bunker.
Yes.
Channel 9 Studios is currently in this great little studio, just another building down the hall, down the ways. They're moving down the hall from here, so we set the precedent that they should come to this building because this server room turned studio is what it is. But they actually have the Dr. Evil conference room. As being used as their
main
studio.
So we were looking at the Dr. Evil conference room
and
taking that just for the four of us.
Big.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do a little video tour or something like that. I can post it up later on. But they actually have the Dr. Evil room that actually does have bleachers that you can have guests come and sit at.
So we could actually do a live episode with guests.
Yeah,
outside of the one we do around our events.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe MVP Summit time frame. We got some friends probably in the MVP community that listen to our show. Maybe 1 or 2.
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully 1 or 2. Maybe we can do that. I don't know.
MKE077 asks, will all Channel 9 broadcasts be from broom closets moving forward? No, actually, they have the budget.
Oh, yeah. They've been spending like crazy, man, to get all the equipment updated and stuff.
Yes. And they're going to have...
Hence the GoPros.
They're going to have a fantastic studio.
Oh, man. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to that. And this studio, it's actually an official studio. They call it Studio B. Well, that is the technical term. Studio B is what it's officially known as, but everybody just calls it the Patch and Switch Studio. So I think it's fantastic. We've actually got our own studio.
I actually brought over, I don't know, where's looking.
Oh,
here.
It's
I have
Patch
a sticker I'm going to put on the door. Just outside the door, like, you know, have your name tags on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stick it. I'm just going to slide it in there.
Oh, okay.
Say Patch and Switch as we leave today.
All right.
I don't know. I'm kind of tied up with wires, though. We didn't get budget approval for a headphone extender yet, so
not yet.
We need to get one of those.
Yeah,
kind of Veronica, tied in here.
Well, I can move the mixer.
No, don't.
Okay,
touch it.
All right. Veronica asks, "Is there really a Dr. Evil in the room because there is no Captain America in the Captain America room at Building 9, as she's learned this week?"
Is there
a Dr. Evil there?
I don't know, man. That's we have to.
We haven't
now.
Spent enough time in that room.
We haven't spent enough time, but it's technically known as the I want to say the sit ops room, for emergency preparedness or something like that.
Well, it used to be an operations room.
It was an operations room for something, but they use it whenever there's a crisis that Microsoft is helping out with.
You mean the one in the basement?
No.
Okay. This one over here. You haven't been there?
No.
Okay, we'll go on a tour afterwards. Okay.
If
they accepted my request for a mobile wireless camera, we would have been able to take you there right now, but that was turned down. They didn't have the budget for it.
Apparently, the click to chat button is blocking the screen on the live stream.
The what?
The click here to chat button.
Is too big?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, now I got to look at this.
I don't know. Everybody else is ignoring it.
You can hit control minus.
Sean Lowe says it's an advertisement. He's pretending to ignore it. It's like a pop-up ad.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. We actually do have an agenda for the show.
Yes.
We always start off with From the Trenches. Now, Veronica says the button looks fine to her.
Wow. It's on the video feed.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
That looks good. I like that. It's almost like we planned it. This is good.
Jay Shock is pointing directly at you, buddy.
Hey, I can almost edit iframes inside of boxes. Not
almost,
quite.
Almost.
Not, apparently, I can if I got to click the chat in the middle of the video. It is blocking right now with the camera angle. It's live. It's blocking the warning signs on the,
electrical
panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so you know, Jane, don't lick your finger and stick it inside of those things because
okay.
It'll not be good.
No.
And we don't have the insurance for it.
Should have probably told her that before.
Very true.
We probably shouldn't be talking about that on a live broadcast either.
So, from the trenches. Five segments. Very first segment is From the Trenches.
Yes.
Normally the things that we still don't have a sound effect for, we still have to work on that, with regards to what we've been doing for our regular day jobs, working in the world of IT here at Microsoft.
We have day jobs. Allegedly.
Day jobs.
Yes. So do you have any From the Trenches stories? Have you been in the trenches?
Have you told me about something just recently? It kind of mirrors what I was going to talk about as well, but I don't remember if I talked about this or not. The PC Recycle and the PCs that are around?
Okay.
Go ahead and talk about it.
No, because there's just been... Did you see downstairs? You haven't been downstairs?
Not recently, no.
It is literally... It is floor to about halfway to the ceiling, just stacked with junk.
Wow.
Yeah.
So whenever there's a move and a relocation, we mentioned that our friends from Lex have come up to the Building 9 from where they were over in RTC Building 5. This is all Microsofty speak for those that don't work at Microsoft. That means nothing. Basically, building moves, a whole bunch of people.
Little applause there for the move.
Anyway, successfully, nothing was broken or lost that I'm aware of. Maybe you lost something because you traditionally lose stuff whenever you move.
No, I actually gained things. There were there were random boxes placed in my room because apparently the person, it's actually Joe B.
Joe B?
Mr. Breslin, right?
Yeah.
He was in the office before me.
And he just didn't
leave
stuff?
And he didn't change the labels on his boxes, so I had half of his stuff in my room.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
A while ago, I managed to scrounge up and find this ginormous Dell professional workstation that's a dual Xeon box. We managed to score up some RAM for it. It's now up and working quite well. But I've been making sure it's all happy, and I've got TP3 on it right now for Server 2016 TP3. I'm playing around with a little bit.
Hang on. Sorry. I was trying to look at the picture, and I think I've crossed the streams.
I'm about to say, I'm hearing myself talk in my headphones all of a sudden.
It's a 10-second delay. All right, okay. I've closed it. I can't look at that because I'm controlling the audio.
Nice.
It's the most professional radio show ever.
Nice. So I've been building a little bit of that and making sure it's all happy and going because I want to have some more on-premises technology that I'm going to be connecting up to the Azure's world.
Mm.
And so I'm going to be actually consulting with you. You don't know this yet. next week.
It's pretty typical.
To make sure that my Cisco 5500 is happy. Is it 5500?
Oh, we can start talking. The ASA 5505.
So the 5505. I got to make sure it's all happy and working again because it hasn't been turned on in a while. In my office to make sure that's good.
I hope you remember the enable password.
I think if you just press the reset button in the back and
there
hold it
for 10
seconds.
There is no reset button on the back.
That's what they all work with Linksys. Is that the same thing?
No.
What?
No.
I thought they all had those devices.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I'll figure that out. It's just a Cisco device. It can't be that hard. I'm sure I can just search for it. Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Anyway, so I got to get that happy again and working for my some of my demos I'm going to be doing in some upcoming speaking engagements that I have coming up at Dev Intersections in October and IT Dev Connections in September in Vegas. I'm going to Vegas a lot.
Yeah?
It's crazy, man.
Well, and then there's the one in Orlando in November, but we may not be making that one.
I'm not invited to that one.
Yeah?
I didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't choose my sessions.
Oh.
Anyway,
for 360, you didn't
I had
get?
This. No, I didn't get it this time.
Oh, interesting.
Unless I'm missing an email somewhere.
I don't know. Check your spam filter.
I better, because I might be speaking in November.
Though now they actually. Anyway, we won't go there. I don't want to detract things. So you mentioned the 5505.
Mm-hmm.
That has been where I've been spending a lot of time.
Perfect.
You're
gonna be all set. I've got the serial USB cable if you need it.
Yes, I know, because unbeknownst to you, when I was here very, very late Friday night of the move, helping out my counterpart, who was heading off to India to do a bunch of sessions. So he was leaving for India on...
Klein.
Yes, Klein.
Klein!
He was heading off to India on Monday to be doing... it's this big SQL Server conference that's happening over in India. And he was leaving on Monday morning. And he grabbed me Friday, probably about noon, and said, "Hey, I'm having issues with my connections for my demos. Can you help me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. But, you know, I was planning on taking the rest of the day off. I've got things going on. When are you leaving?" He's like, "Yeah, Monday morning, first thing." And I'm like, "Oh, great." So I'm like, "Well, I can do it tonight. That's it." So I went back to the office about 9 o'clock and started configuring. And he didn't remember his password. I managed to figure it out, and we managed to get in and get the 5505 device working. And then my connection, because we do have, in order to run the Azure VPN, we have to have dedicated connections, not as part of the normal, you know.
We call them DTAPs.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's basically a DTAP that's sitting in my office. And when it moved over, I had to make some configuration changes. Mm-hmm. Now, here's an interesting thing I have just found out, and I'm not sure if we've got friends in the chat room who are using Azure VPNs, but one thing that I've discovered, and I haven't yet confirmed if this is expected behavior, but now when my VPN connects, if I don't have anything running on the other side talking back through the tunnel tears itself down about every 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah, and so I'm seeing people nod going, "Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do." It didn't do that before. It used to just stay online.
That's because we're saving you money.
Exactly.
But you're not, because it rebuilds itself after about 30 seconds.
It's saving you money.
Though if I'm running a VM on the other side, everything stays up and online just fine. So I've been spending a ton of time relearning how to configure the ASA correctly.
Yeah. See, Jane already figured that out a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's on the ball for understanding the VPN teardown process for what's happening in Azure.
Yeah.
Because she has that up and running in her environment right now.
Did you know that? I don't have it up and running right now.
I'm trying to engage her to say something. She's just sitting there.
She's going,
giggling.
Which is usually what we do, right? We normally just sit here, look at each other, and giggle.
But don't talk. I know. But now this is where we get to put her on the spot and say, "Can you think of how you can anonymize and also talk about some recent events that might have happened in the trenches in your recent day job? Do you have any? You want to share? No matter what you say, it's going to be funny. We'll laugh." Can you think of anything?
No.
No?
It's been pretty boring, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Can you describe what you do for your day job? It is IT, right?
Yes.
Just making sure.
Definitely IT. We're currently trying to migrate to Office 365.
Oh, yeah?
Lots of Azure AD Sync stuff going on and stuff like that, but not anything really interesting.
Are you approaching that from a pilot perspective, just using target mailboxes? Are you going whole hog, whole in, cut over on October
the
1st?
Like, what's your plans? In pilot mode, yes.
What size have you chosen for your pilot? Just out of curiosity.
Around 13, 14 users.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We're
coming from two separate forests as well, so.
That's a good pool. Mm-hmm. Now, the question becomes, how did you choose those 14 people? Were they voluntold that they're being part of the pilot? Or did did they actually put their hand up and say, "Oh, I'll go.
There was a little bit of hands raised, but mostly voluntold.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. How many, and did you have, you doing the sync so far? Do you have people already moved over?
We have one person moved right now.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's good.
But we're fully synced.
And, you know, you can't actually tell if it's working or not because they can't mail you if it's not working anyway.
Right.
So it's a good sign,
That's
right?
That's the best pilot ever.
I love that. The feedback's been phenomenal. It's great.
Nobody's been saying it doesn't work.
That's very, very cool. That's one thing I can't actually test out because doing, like, pilot migrations for on-premises stuff from O365 and up. Although I do have to become more proficient with my AD sync stuff. Because
I think that's both of our worlds.
Yeah,
there,
I know.
Right?
The generic errors are great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice. It's almost as good as the Windows Phone error messages that come up sometimes. Mm-hmm.
X800.
Yeah.
475244.
Yeah, and then you do a search for that, and it's like, "Oh, well, that is the 15 different possible things that come up, and they're all completely different from different support agencies." I love those ones.
Sean Lowe says he loves getting emails saying that their email isn't working.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, isn't that the best?
I love that. I heard There's an article that came up on WinBeta just yesterday talking about the city of Munich. Remember those guys?
Yes.
City of Munich that had decided to go and move from earlier version of Windows and skip Windows 7 and go to Linux.
Yes.
And a bunch of them are actually contemplating now to go back into the Windows environment because they've been having problems with document compatibility and other things like that. Kind of interesting to see the conversations going on back and forth about that. It's happening soon. Who knows?
Yeah.
The article was nondescript, so it's probably...
I like nondescript articles.
Nondescript articles. They wouldn't
very much like this show.
They wouldn't name any names. You know, it's probably written up on The Onion for all I know. Who knows? But, lovely, lovely times for pilots these days.
There's a lot of booze talk going on in the chat room.
Booze talk?
Yes.
It's supposed to be beer talk, gentlemen and ladies. That's
not,
later.
Not quite yet.
That's later.
Done any... So, speaking of... finding devices in the move pile, going back to the topic at hand, which is from the trenches. And
we should put a disclaimer on here. These are devices that are going to a PC recycle program.
Correct.
That all Microsofties use and contribute to, and Microsoft just donates these to a company that looks after refurbing them and recycling them.
Correct.
Apparently, it's not for home systems.
No. No, it's not for home systems. That's up to you to take to the recycle place.
You got it.
I found a PowerEdge. I want to say it's a 370.
No.
I did.
What?
Yes.
Just sitting there?
Dual. No, well, it wasn't in PC Recycle. This is one that ended up being ordered and then not being used and was sitting in a storage closet.
Still in
closet.
The shrink wrap.
It was still in the box. It absolutely was still in the box.
Was the box still taped?
No, the box had been opened. But it has a dual Xenon, I don't remember the model, but the 2.4 gigahertz models.
Oh, yeah.
It's only got 64 gig of RAM.
Oh, yeah. Only 64 gig.
Only 64 gig. Well, when I opened up the chassis to see what was in it, there's only about 674 RAM slots in the thing.
Two of them are populated.
That's you are exactly right. That's you are exactly right. Two are populated. Because when I first opened it up, I'm like, holy cow, this thing's got a lot of RAM. But no, they have the little plastic... you know, kind of holders there. Because I was just like, oh, that's a lot of RAM with really cool heat sinks. No. No. And it's only got 600 gig of hard drive. So two SAS drives, two 300 gig SAS drives.
Wow.
But there's about, you know, 684 slots available for more hard drives. So I think we're going to have to take
it. It's rack mount?
It is rack mountable.
For you?
It's a 2U box.
Yep. We have room for that.
And I've actually got the rails, too.
We have room for that.
Yeah,
just down the hall, by where we had the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one of the glass rooms at the side of that is where the lab is, and we have room for that. I could definitely use that.
Buckeye Joe,
welcome,
Buckeye guy, AKA I'll just call him J Flo.
J-Flo.
Dude needs to just change his Twitter handle because I said so. Welcome J Flo, because he's here. I saw some.
He's picking up
Peace Drama. Peace Drama is here,
yep.
And I've mentioned that, but Phil Erb. That's who I wanted to call out, who's joined the chat room.
Yes.
But you did mention that JFlow has picked up some QC20s, which is the, apparently now,
it is
we
the
should
official,
be sponsored.
It's the official.
We really should be sponsored because we all have them now.
There's three pair in this room alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Three pair in this room alone. They're obviously good headphones.
Yes. So anyway, the 370, we're going to have to take over that box. We're going to have to
move
some VMs on it. Because you've got some storage, yeah?
I definitely have storage we can put into
that. We don't necessarily need to add drives to it because you've got remote storage, yeah?
Yeah. In the lab, actually, our good friend Matt McSpirit has been dutifully rebuilding from scratch all of the lab infrastructure that was put together by Mr. Perriman before.
Yes.
Fixing everything. Flashing everything, updating all the firmwares, getting it all set to go. He's got this masterful ability, like a superpower, of being able to commandeer and find equipment.
Yeah, he
does.
From
various lab managers around Microsoft that's no longer being used. And he's managed to get everything back up and working again. And he's got it set up as an entire
Azure Pack.
Azure Pack.
Yeah.
The older generation of the as-of-yet-to-be-coming-and-announced and available for public release Windows Azure Stack, which is coming up soon afterwards. So
Pack, Stack, and Rack?
Pack, Stack, and Rack. We're going to Pack, Stack, and Rack those servers. So right now, we've got a nice Quanta hybrid storage scale-up file server for being remote storage in there. You got a 10 gig network between the different hypervisors. That would make a fantastic hypervisor box to be able to work.
Yeah, it absolutely would.
So, yeah.
Just definitely. Throw a little more RAM in it because 64 is probably...
All he has to send out one magical email to this alias, and I'm sure there's probably sticks and sticks of RAM that are just sitting in different people's shelves because we all, you know, like IT people all over the place. You never throw hardware.
We never throw anything away.
So obviously all this hardware in the hallways in Building 9 are all from the marketers.
Yes.
Or something.
Well, because you've noticed some of these monitors are literally like 874 centimeters thick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking through and I'm going... These are the first generation of LCD monitor ever, and there's like 19 of them. So some dude had it in his office.
It's a maximum resolution of 640 by 480.
Didn't you put all those along your wall, you know, like, and install them on the wall? Yes. And make a big wall.
No,
it'd be
no?
too expensive to get a video card that could power them all, though.
No, forget that. Well, it would be too expensive to cool the room. Because the minute that you turn them on, the temperature in the room goes up by like 70 degrees.
Yes. I have to apologize. I didn't mean to offend Veronica.
Yeah.
That last statement. I'm not. It's not a derogatory statement at all.
No.
No.
It's just that they used the opportunity to clean out.
Correct.
As you could tell by the stack of materials that you know, you see banners and boxes.
Boxes
and
of T-shirts.
I think, yes. I think half of those t-shirts. Systems were probably used for the Prometric testing area.
Yeah. Easy.
Ba-ding-ch.
Easy.
It is Lex, man. You never know.
Too soon.
Never know.
Too soon.
You never know. So that's
Wireless Life says, imagine what the suntan you would get from those LEDs.
Yeah, there's no radiant energy coming off of those at all that you have to worry about, eh?
I wonder if we could just create our own microwave with them.
Sure beats those ceramic heating fans that users like to plug in by their desks at their feet.
Yeah, exactly.
For things.
They trip the
power
trip
all the time.
The power all the time.
Kick in. When that kicks in with the other buddy's fridge on the other side of the
yes
and the compressor kicks in at the same time. Oh, I love that.
You're right, that is from the trenches. What's the second segment of the show?
Normally we end up doing one that's known as beer money, not beer talk.
Beer
money, otherwise known as tech support. Thank you very much. Tech support for friends and family and colleagues that you happen to do along the way, along the times.
Does colleagues count, because, or is that part of from the trenches?
Well, it I would say work friends. How's that?
Okay.
So not
on their home devices.
On their home devices.
Okay, gotcha.
Or, you know, Windows phones sort of stuff. I see Jane is sitting there just bubbling and waiting to share a story about time she's done tech support for something. So I'll let you sit for a minute and think about that. Just recently.
I love how you're just calling her out. She was just planning on coming and sitting and listening to the show like she
when
always
you get
does.
When we find out you're in Seattle and we give you a Redmond and we give you an invite to come to the show, you have to work for it. Like, you don't just get to sit there and observe.
No.
Even if we have... If we ever do it inside the Dr. Evil room and we have the benches, we'll fill up those benches. We'll give everyone microphones. We'll have a microphone.
How are we going to do that?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Let's give it to Golnaz to figure it out.
Okay.
She's not listening to this anyway, so it's good.
Probably not.
What are we doing? Tech support stuff. I figured out, this is actually rather scary, I just figured out how to add a second account to an iPhone. I don't support iPhone.
Okay.
I'll be blatantly clear about that. But some colleagues / friends of mine that are on the board that I'm on for lacrosse, for my son's lacrosse thing.
Yeah.
I got them set up on Office 365 because the nonprofits are able to get on Office 365 for free for like 20
Cha-ching.
Licenses or something like that. They have, email addresses that I set up for them on O365. But I've never configured an iPhone for a second email account. I had no idea how to do it. I'm sitting inside the mail settings. I'm like flicking around trying to find stuff. I don't know how to flick back and forth inside of that. The home button thing takes you back to the home button. And then finally, I'm like ready to throw this freaking phone up against the wall. And a friend of mine sitting at the table said, do you want me to help you with that? How do you do this? It's like, oh, just go into settings. Here, scroll down. There you go. Oh, there you go. There's accounts. Done.
Yeah.
But
settings is a magical thing.
Whatever. But... They're using
Whatever.
The default mail program. I was expecting them to be using the Outlook program.
Outlook, right.
Because I think it's better. Is it not?
I don't know. I've never used the default one. I've always used Outlook on them.
Jane, what kind of phone do you have?
I have a Fruit phone.
A Fruit phone?
Yeah.
Do you use the Outlook or do you use the default mail program?
For my work email, I use the default. And for my personal, I use Outlook.
There you go. So... Now I know. Now, for the Outlook program, do you configure the settings for the accounts in the Outlook program?
Yes.
You don't have to touch the main one on
correct.
The work thing?
That is correct.
Okay. Good to know. I didn't want to introduce a new program to this person's phone because I didn't know what they were going to do with it. So
PEI Murphy says the default mail app works fine.
So
and so Veronica says she uses default mail on her fruit pod.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was my from the I got schooled, I guess you would say, about how to configure.
Wow,
an iPhone.
Shocker!
I know, shocker. My wife has a fruit device and she doesn't let me touch it. As for good reason.
Yeah.
But she's actually found the Outlook program by herself and has already configured it because she has a couple email addresses she uses on that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was at a loss. It works and they're happy, but that was tough. It's just so weird how you get so used to working in your own ecosystem and it's like you forget to open up that there's other ecosystems that are out there.
Everybody in the chat room is saying prevent clausing. He clawsed it.
Yeah. Whatever. It's the phone still works.
Okay.
Because you haven't touched it.
Because I barely touched it.
Sean Lowe says he uses the default himself as well. He also has the Outlook program. I've noticed a new feature that they've added in Outlook recently for the clutter. The clutter folder.
Yeah.
Which
on the
I find
devices are just all up.
It's kind of all up.
Yeah, I've been getting those emails for a while now on my mail accounts.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I do too. And then
I miss the mail though. I miss it.
But it's in the clutter folder.
I know, but I forget to look there. Like I don't need to look. It's a time saver because I don't need to look there.
Yeah.
It's for stupid things like Twitter for Business is telling me how I can make some more money on Twitter,
right?
Or something like that. So
that ended up in junk.
Well, it's in clutter.
Clutter's not junk.
I know. So that's what I found out. So that's and it auto learns.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Based on, I never actually read that message or touched it at all for the last 2 weeks. It's still unread. He probably doesn't need that one anymore.
Veronica says that her notification about clutter went into clutter. And actually, I seem to recall that mine actually did as well. Yeah.
Nice.
That was pretty good.
Very nice.
That was pretty good. I haven't actually been doing any Beer Money support.
No.
I'll just call her teenager. A laptop for her birthday. We got one of the HP Stream
Sevens. The nine? No,
it's the 11.
Oh, the 11. So it's good and portable
with the touchscreen.
Yeah.
And that was a fantastic experience because you pulled it out of the box and it's like, hey, would you like to upgrade to Windows 10? And I'm like, well, yes, I do.
Nice.
There was only two applications that I actually had to remove as kind of the bloatware, I guess, that you call from HP. So, the main thing is lesson on the HP Stream 11 as well as the 13 because they have such small drives. I think they're only 32 gig. You'll want to make sure that you do the upgrade to Windows 10 prior to doing the installation of the free Office 365 1 year that it comes with.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise you could run into space constraint issues.
I see.
But once the install is completed, and of course you go through and you delete Windows.old,
mm-hmm.
as you would do, because it's not needed, then you go ahead and install Office 365 and you're good to go.
Nice.
And then you get the unlimited cloud storage.
Yes.
In addition to, it's got a spot for a little SD card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We have MKE077 in the room talking about how his neighbors fell for the ransom phone call, and he unransomed the system for them.
I've been getting those.
I like how he throws in the name drop of how, unlike Mark Rusinovich's mom.
That actually happened to my mom, too. She got the phone call.
She has an RT device.
She has a desktop in her office, too.
Okay.
But the funny part was she's like, well, my son works for Microsoft. Click.
Nice.
They just hung up. They're like, okay, we were not going to get her.
Nice.
Let's see. Peace Drama says, work should stop for the patch and switch show. Let's start a petition.
You're here.
Jay Flo says, it's on his calendar as a required meeting, and we have actually sent out a link to the mandatory meeting invitation.
I am looking for that link so far.
Which is a recurring schedule plus.
Oh, I had it, but I thought I put it on the page. I didn't put it on the page.
MKE077 says that the folks from India got to asking for the credit card, and then he thought it was best to come over too late. Oh, ransom. Love that. P.I. Murphy, I have friends that get those calls and they say, that's funny, I have a Mac. Even if they don't, they have learned. The other thing too I've noticed is they get very, very unfriendly when you tell them not to call anymore. They swear at you.
Oh, yes, yeah. I do.
I've had them call back and swear at them. Like, you screw them up totally.
Yeah.
They get all flustered, and then basically they hang up, and then they call back, and she swore at me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you, oh, I can't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do. They drop the F-bomb and everything else, and I'm just kind of, I'm like, this is fantastic. They're like, we will take over your systems. You won't be able to do anything. And I'm like,
go ahead.
Go ahead, dude.
Try it.
I dare you. I double dog dare you.
Well, and so I've gotten those calls before myself. And then I don't know if you've ever used BrowserStack.
No.
If you're doing a lot of web development, it's a site where you can go spin up a whole bunch of VMs that have all different versions of browsers so you can check your website on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd spin up a Mac VM, and I'd start trying to work with them through the Mac. And I'm like, well, I have the start menu, but is that the little Apple menu at the top?
quick.
Click.
Switch the script.
I don't actually. Do they actually have one for Macs now? Because I know normally if you say you have a Mac, they don't even bother with it.
No, they blow you off.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I have a Linux box.
I'm running Slackware right now.
Hey, I got his Commodore 64. How do I get it on the internet?
How do I get
my dial-up coupler modem isn't working because I'm talking to you. Sorry, I got to pick it up to talk to you.
You can't access it because I'm on the phone and I dial it. TE Cable Guy says his wife plays along with those calls for 10 to 15 minutes if she has time before they eventually hang up. It saves some other people from having to deal with them. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, they've been getting bad. And the bad thing is one of the first calls that we got was from the 801 area code, which is Salt Lake City. So we thought it was somebody that we know because we have family there. And so that's where I'm like, okay, it's now time to start finding these numbers and blocking them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you can't find the numbers all the time. And what's getting worse for me is the robocalls from Boeing Employees Credit Union.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I've called. That's actually my credit union. They say, yeah, we don't call you. We have different communication systems.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Any
tech support family stuff you've had to do?
I am lucky enough that my dad is about as geeky as I am, so he takes care of himself.
Oh,
and he's 4,000 miles away.
You've delegated it out.
Yeah.
That's so perfect.
I know.
Oh,
yes, MKE077 caller ID can very easily be spoofed. Yes, for sure. Nice. But again, it's, you know, there's a button that says end call.
Yep.
Hang up.
Well, sometimes it's the, like TE Cable Guy said, it's best to kind of leave them, and there's sometimes like, oh, hold on a second, and then you just leave the phone off the hook.
Nice.
I'm unlimited minutes, whatever.
You just hang on a second, and you actually create the sound of the dial-up, but you just leave it on there.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so beer money. I haven't made any beer money other than setting up that machine and just the little tip on those HP streams and how to get around or how to get the Windows 10 upgrade on it if it's a brand new device.
I'm still trying to come up with good introductory modding Minecraft for dad's kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, because both of our kids actually went through and did some modding.
Some modding stuff and basically trying to set up a developer workstation for them that does modding.
Yes.
I can't believe documentation is so
well, have you read his? Have you read? Man. But you should just read his blog post.
Oh, no, I did, but it's set up on a Mac. Not on a PC.
No, it's on a PC.
He's got it for a Mac.
He's got it for a PC as well, dude. He was an intern here.
I understand, but my thought is it still assumes you have some level of knowledge of JavaScript monitor.
You're exactly right, that you actually have some knowledge of how to code, which neither of us have.
Neither of us have. We're scripting, not coding. So that's what I'm thinking. I think it's a good business plan to be able to come up with a Minecraft modding for dads. I think it would be a good business plan for that. Of course, I just told everybody my business plan. So,
Registered trademark Rick Claus.
2015. 2015. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Wireless Life says modding for dads on Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, it could work.
No.
It's not Minecraft.
It's not Minecraft, and that's kind of the thing.
Trying to get my kids interested in programming stuff. I think one of my evil twins would be good on that.
The evil twin, not the good twin. The evil twin? Okay, gotcha. Mom's going to love hearing
one.
That.
The softball one.
MKE077, ooh, Mr. Ed would be a great teacher for that. Is that Mr. Ed the horse? I'm Mr. Ed.
Nice.
Yeah, it shows my age there.
I found it. Sorry.
What did you find?
I found this. I'm pasting it inside the chat room. Where is it? I can't. Where is it?
They can't see.
No.
You do realize they can't see, right?
What? Yeah. They're in the chat room. They'll be able to see this.
Okay.
Or gotcha. If you held your laptop up to the camera.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you don't want him to do that. There's cables.
So I did a little beer money.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yes.
I fixed my... I actually found a problem with an old router I gave my mother that was at her house, and it was stripping JavaScript out of web pages.
What?
I was using DDWRT, old version of it. And it started stripping JavaScript out of web pages, which was making almost every web page
non-existent. Yeah, it's crazy.
So I went over to Montana, was staying there for a weekend, went to the Scottish-Irish Festival, drank a lot of scotch and Irish whiskey and beer.
Yep.
But I also fixed my mom's Wi-Fi, and it ended up I had to do an upgrade and then disable, for some reason with DDWRT, it was considering Java applets and JavaScript the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had to unfortunately disable because I was having it strip all the JavaScript or Java applets because my mom had a guest at her house install a program that was all Java, and then all of a sudden her machine got infected.
Ouch.
So I no longer have that on the firewall, but I did make her a standard user so you can't install stuff anymore.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Wireless Life says he will be teaching Minecraft modding at the Microsoft Store Square One this fall to 8 to 12-year-olds. So Wireless Life could help with some modding. Did you know this? You're laughing. You're going, I know him.
Yeah, no. I know him. No.
No?
I can't use him.
No?
He's such a disreputable, absolutely horrible person that absolutely doesn't have kids. He's just terrible.
Easy.
Wow. Wow.
I'm completely joking, of course.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's awesome. Yes,
of course he is.
Yes.
Bartolo. Good old Bartolo.
Bartolo.
Hey, let's talk about beer.
Good thing he's got a sense of humor. You see the picture of the car he took today?
Not yet.
Or yesterday?
No.
Oh, he loves his cars. He's got this beautiful picture of some car. I think it's a Lamborghini.
I don't know.
I don't know. He'll probably tell us in the website.
So Seth Juarez has joined the chat room. He wants to know how he can get a hat like Rick's.
What?
He also wants to know, what does PowerShell do?
He still hasn't figured that out yet.
No.
Still hasn't figured that out yet. You know, he just came back from... Is it time for that
It's
now?
Time for beer talk. We got to get moving on.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
The clock is flying.
The clock is ticking. And as of now, we're keeping score.
Wait, what? Is that another one of my jobs?
No. Yeah, let's talk about beer.
We have to pour enough for everybody.
Right, yeah, we do. We have to
pour them on there.
Yeah. I think we need one more.
Yeah. So I'm surprised Seth hasn't just walked past the hallway and like stuck himself to the glass over here.
Well, he's at Building 9 now.
Okay.
So
true. Okay, that's right, enough beer. We got to stop pouring this beer.
Well, we got to drink it.
Very true. Making beer. We earlier had the discussion about making beer with a bunch of folks that came here for Technical Conference. It's since been kegged, it's been cleaned, it's been filtered, it's been served. It came out very, very nice. So much so that a common friend of ours, Mr. Cowper, had a barbecue recently. And
yes.
He served up, and the beer that was drank the most was my new recipe for rye IPA.
That's right.
It was very good.
We went through...
Almost the entire 5 gallons.
Almost the entire five... Was the rye... Oh, no. It was the golden ale that we actually killed a keg of and then went to another keg.
Yeah.
There was a lot of beer consumed that night.
There was a lot of beer. Luckily, there's lots of designated drivers as well.
Yep, absolutely.
But I still have a little bit of the rye IPA left on tap in case you want to come and visit this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's open to anybody if you want, by the way.
Anyway. His address is... Yes.
One Microsoft Way.
So beer talk-wise, I have been giving in to the peer pressure. I'm giving in to the peer pressure that has been put on me by you.
What? Me?
Mr. Cowper.
No, I'm not a peer pressure guy.
Ms. Claire.
At all.
In terms of... purchasing a kegerator.
Yes,
I'm not looking at
any
you.
Pressure.
I'm looking at you because you need one too.
Yes, you got to step it up, man.
I don't have room for. Do I have room for a kegerator in my condo?
Yeah,
in the garage.
Totally, man. Totally. Put your TV on top of it or something.
Hey,
come
just
on.
Step
don't even talk about my
his TV. That's the
Visio MVP says the camera switching comes with a few seconds of refocusing.
Oh, nice. I can't fix that. That's GoPro.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
I'm not even seeing the refocusing, so thanks for that.
Yeah, that's good knowledge.
So, Kegerator, talk us about it. You've done the research.
I have been doing a ton of research.
So, in case you're looking
to buy...
Good,
I'll take your research if you're going to pressure me like this.
Just in case you're looking to buy a Kegerator.
Well, so I'm looking at, cost-wise, it makes sense for me not to build one because I'm only looking for a two-tap one, so it doesn't make sense for me to get the, you know, mega fridge. I'm just going to get one of the mini fridge ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with doing conversions of, you know, the mini fridges is, number one, you could closet and hit the cooling line.
I've never done
that's
that.
Never happened.
Never.
No, never.
Never done that.
The other thing that you can do is...
Just don't breathe deeply after it happens. That's all.
True.
Yes.
Oh, God.
The other thing is that I've noticed that you have to strip, you know, the door panels off,
mm-hmm.
then replace them with, like, plywood, which doesn't, you know, it's not aesthetically pleasing, particularly when you have to get CFO approval.
You could go diamond-plated metal.
I could go diamond-plated metal.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you start looking into it, it's like, okay, you buy the fridge, and then you have to add the tower, and you have to add this, you have to... You are very, very, very close, mm-hmm. within $100-ish, of actually purchasing one. So I have been looking at various places to purchase one, and I've actually found one that looks like it will actually be able to hold three Cornelius kegs, and I'm going to do a dual tap system, but I will have a third one in there, which is always good if we have to condition a lager,
yep.
Or just hold one until the other keg is empty. So yeah.
Did you see what Adam just said?
Yeah, I just saw Adam up there, there saying I could get you a sweet deal on a gently used one. Ours is empty most of the time.
Well, Adam, if you come over to the east side,
yes, we're gonna have to chat.
You could buy in to Beer Team 6 and
yes,
have kegs of beer of whatever type you want to help
beer
make.
Beer plenty.
I know. He just needs to join.
Absolutely.
We're down a member.
We are down a member because he's moved to Ohio or something.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about that.
That's all right.
So,
still not over it yet, are you?
So basically, you're basically all the different parts to be able to make one, net sum zero for being able to have one that's already made,
it's very close.
And clean is the big thing, right?
Clean, yes. And you know, still you still get to put it together. You still get to learn, you know, because it doesn't come assembled, right?
So some assembly are required?
Yes.
Are you
buying it from IKEA?
No. I can't imagine an IKEA kegerator. That would be horrible.
Just picture the instructional picture design to put it together. That would be funny, actually.
We should actually look at doing that in Visio or something.
Nice. Visio MVP can help us out with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got the challenge of having how many taps to put in. We also have the challenge of how to know when your kegs are empty. I'm thinking about seeing if I can employ this. There's a friend of ours.
Jay Flo, it would come in a flat box. you have to run the cooling lines
yourself.
Unkink
the cooling lines yourself. you have to. I want to talk to my friends who are doing the IoT stuff to figure out if we can come up with some kind of level detector for how much beer is left or how much beer has been poured. Because that is a problem right now. With, you know, you're having a party, you've got kegs of beer, and they're going through it. We need to have like a warning symbol that appears in the fridge that basically says, yellow, you're getting close to the bottom.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, flashing red, 1 pint left.
Big siren.
We've
reached DEFCON 5. We've reached DEFCON 5.
So, yes, we need to have something that's able to go off and inform us of the fact that there's no beer left or getting close to being no beer left.
Jay Flo says the guy at B-Dubs uses a scale that weighs the keg.
That could work.
Veronica wants to know if experience is required to join Beer Team 6. No.
Absolutely none. You just have to be able to find the house.
Yes.
Since someone couldn't find the house last time.
That's critical.
Yes. I had no experience in brewing beer when I joined.
No, he was just the loudmouth consultant, advisor.
I think you should stir that some more.
What?
Should it be boiling over like that? What's that smell?
Quick, open up the vents.
Something's on fire.
The burner's supposed to be lit, Joey. It's okay. You got it.
Yes, I know, but should you be standing that close to
it? Just don't look at the man behind the curtain. It's fine. Just don't look at the man behind the curtain.
Seth has now volunteered himself to be the Beer Team 6 designated driver.
Welcome anytime.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome anytime.
MKE077 says DEFCON 5 is as low a threat as possible.
Well, you know, it's
we never reached that level.
Canada doesn't have DEFCON levels.
No.
No, we have
MooseCon?
No, I was going to say we have points on deer.
Oh.
Points you have on the antlers. It's only a 1 point buck. Don't worry about that, man. It's only a 1 point.
It won't do that much damage.
No, if that guy rams into you, it's only going to get one little poke in the rib. That's all. Now the guy was six. Watch out. That's nasty when you get six coming at you.
You don't want to see that pulling into the drive-through of
you.
of Tim Hortons, right? Oh, easy.
Oh my goodness.
Any other beer talk? I mean, I'm getting a kegerator. I'm looking at several. What is it? The Perlick taps? That's what
Perlick
you
is
go
the way
with.
To go for taps.
Yep.
As the crown economy of taps. You asked me about going with the flow control or not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, just.
You don't want some proper hand pull?
Well, our friend Bruce Cowper has a beer engine with the proper hand pull, which is absolutely awesome.
Okay, sorry. AdamBomb00 just posted probably one of the best messages ever seen in
the
chat room.
That is the best.
Canadian threat levels equal sorry, so sorry, very sorry, and extremely sorry.
We're extremely sorry. Niagara Falls is going to flood the entire eastern seaboard. We're extremely sorry about this and any inconvenience it might cost.
That needs to go on Twitter. That is serious. Has to be one of the best comments I have ever seen in our chat room. Well done, sir.
I don't even know how to follow up on that one.
No, you really don't.
Mic drop.
We should just end the show.
Thanks for coming out. Where's the band anyway?
This is the last show ever. We've reached the pinnacle. Oh, that's fantastic.
We need a recipe. We need the next one to brew. We need the next thing. We're also contemplating come the fall of because, again, we're down one soldier down on Beer Team 6.
Yes.
His brew equipment is being shipped back to him. I'm thinking about shipping it back in pieces.
Like breaking it apart?
No, just one part at a time.
Here's the handle. Here's the lid.
Are you going to draw the little IKEA instructions? I could. So you can put that together?
We need to ship it back to him in pieces as payback for leaving us, I think. We need to replace our 5-gallon setup.
And yeah.
So we're looking at alternatives for new 5-gallon setups right
now. You were showing me this the other day as we were waiting around for Mark Krasinovich not to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shane, can you pick that up?
I actually like the mash tun you were looking at.
Yes, the mash tun is gorgeous.
Is it two or three layers of insulation? I think it's three.
No,
because you've got dual layers of stainless just in the normal pot.
Dual layer thick stainless, and then sandwiched between them is a layer of high density foam insulation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. So basically, it has the proper grist ratio for grain to water. The existing pots we have right now are made for 10 gallons and larger because they're so wide. If you go with a 5-gallon, you have too much. If you go with a 5-gallon, you have too much water surface area on top of where the grain is.
Yeah.
So anyway, smaller one looks great. 10 gallons is what the size measurement is, and it's available right now, and it sounds pretty cool. However, it's like $500. So.
Well, that and you know, $200 for the next boil pot too.
Next boil pot because you need a 5-gallon.
Or 250. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And then we've already actually started fiscal planning for fiscal year 17.
Yeah, actually,
for Beer Team 6.
I just opened right now a Kickstarter for funding the next round. The next round of funding, we're looking for VC funding for Beer Team 6.
Well, because the next purchase for next fiscal year is Conical Fermenter, or two. Yes, Conical Fermenters, multiple.
Okay. So how much do I need to set aside?
Well, so
or do I need to really push this Kickstarter too?
For seven equal payments of
$1 million.
No, $1,000.
It's actually not that bad because was it 600 after you get the temperature system on it?
Is that it?
Or was it more than that?
It's more than that. It's for under $800, you get the whole thing.
Oh, okay, there you go. And
it's
we need two.
Not bad.
No. And they're 15 gallon.
But you need two, which is 16. So.
But if we have
one.
A new member that may be able to find the house, she could help.
You never know. You never know.
Oh, we'll start. But that's FY17.
Yeah.
So FY16's budget is a new 5-gallon brew
set.
Do we
have allotments of new membership spots? We have to hold them back so only one person a year can join? Or do we have a cap on this to make it so it's exclusive?
Well, does Beer Team 6 actually have to remain at six members?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's six for the six pack.
Yeah.
Right? We could just go that route.
But we have kegs.
Yeah. But we're going to start doing competitions. We need to start doing competitions and sending beer. We need other people besides ourselves and our friends saying, that's good beer. Right? We need some external validation.
Jay Flo is still laughing about the Canadian threat levels, not even paying attention to what we're talking about.
I think
about
we lost the entire thread of the show.
Yeah, I think we just derailed the show with that one. We need to start thinking about naming the show because we've got 5 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Veronica says 6 kegs.
That could work.
That could work. Yeah. Absolutely. Sean Lowe says he missed something. Keg competitions, no. Sheldon, we only keg.
Yes.
We don't bottle, but in order to properly do some of the competitions, you actually have to bottle or four bottles.
Two to four bottles of 22 ounce.
And we have no bottling equipment. I think you have a bottle dryer.
Well, I have a bottle dryer, and I also have a number of 22 ounce bottles that are flip tops.
Oh, the little
the Grolsch top is
the one
them.
The one that you broke in Spain.
The one I broke in Spain, and the yeast exploded all over my hotel room.
Yes,
it looked like a bloody murder was going on. Some beer fanatic.
Yes,
yeah, not good. They still haven't let me back in that hotel, by the way. I tried to book there for Barcelona because that happened before the conference, right?
Yeah. So, that's right. You weren't at that hotel.
They wouldn't let me in the hotel.
Oh.
Oh, you, sir.
I think they remembered.
They definitely remembered.
So the way we name the show, we open up the chat room. Anyone that wants, as long as it is a work-safe word, you're welcome to type it in, and we will randomly choose the first three or, the first ones that are good.
We randomly choose three. We don't necessarily do it in order.
Yes, it has to be one word. No concatenations, no compound words. Is that right? Compound?
I don't know.
No,
I didn't. I'm not a grammar guy.
I didn't speak that well. So
I ain't learned that yet.
I know, eh? And we got the 10-second delay, so no one's saying anything. So we have to kind of fill time for 10 seconds. Jane, give us a word in the
keg.
Room. What?
Boof.
Keg.
We got three.
Keg. I'm gonna go with flat pack, and I'm gonna go with J Flow. So sorry.
Keg.
Flat pack, so sorry.
Let me get my notepad up here.
Okay. I thought you were doing it in OneNote now.
No, it's too complicated. Keg.
Flat pack, so sorry.
Flat pack, so sorry.
Which will be our next show, which is in a fortnight's time.
Yes, we have to stay on schedule. We're back at a regular time at 9 a.m. In the chat room, I did send out a link to the ICS file that you can use and put a recurring meeting called Technical Webcast that appears every 2 weeks as a URL for patchandswitch.com, and it's it is for perpetuity, so it will be in there inside your calendar until your calendar ends. Unfortunately, it's a static file. I guess I could update the file, but you can't subscribe to it. If I knew how to do stuff, maybe I could ask Seth. He would know. If he could make us like an iCal feed.
I don't know about
feed,
that.
No? If he could make us like an iCal feed, that would make it so we could like dynamically update it so people would have automatically updating stuff.
Vizio MVP said ICS worked.
ICS should work.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2 weeks' time, I hope I'm here. I am traveling soon because it's getting conference season.
That is September the 11th, actually.
Oh, you know what? I'm not here.
You're not?
No.
Uh-oh.
I'm in San Francisco.
We might be able to try the Skypes.
Yeah, we'll have to work on it.
We'll work on the technical stuff. You don't want to reshoot the shows just because of me, because obviously it didn't work today, did it?
No, absolutely. Seth says let's do it. So Seth's going to get us a solution
that
we can work on that.
Nice.
Frederick says, where is the ICS? So go ahead and repost that link, will you?
What?
So
again?
That people can see it. Yes.
Okay.
All you have to
do
is...
Here it is.
Okay,
where's the band at? Are they coming around anyway?
Yeah, they're still setting up over there. They
can't use the regular room over there because some guy with like 50,000 devices testing UI information is over there right now. There they are.
I had to press the button to enable their sound. So that does it again for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Those of you who are participating in the chat room, Frederick, Vizio MVP, P. Strama, Seth, Veronica, MKE077, my man, J. Flo, Wireless Life, Sean Lowe, J. Shock, pressing all the buttons that make things, I guess, work. Depends on if you need focus or not. TE Cable Guy, Adam Bomb 00, PEI Murphy, and of course, special thanks to our in studio guest, Bear Brett.
Yay!
Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and until next week, or until the next show in 2 weeks, have a weekend, everyone.
opened a doorway to a world we know nothing about.